if you really want it, He'll strengthen you to get it. Amen. Look at that. He'll lead you. I was thinking that song before last, that something about temptation. I can't remember. He'll lead me on from temptation, and the Lord is speaking to me back here, because He always uses my life to teach me lessons. And it's like yesterday, we were blessed with all them pickup trucks, and I went downstairs to be the supervisor, you know. And like I said earlier, I pulled my chest muscle the day before, so if you see me growling at you or looking like this, I was stupid, okay? But we came in yesterday then, and we were blessed. Paul was here, and come in, and of course, my wife, loving me, she said, "Don't do nothing stupid today." Okay. So I go downstairs, and they're just lined up. You got these kids, 16, 17 years old, I mean, and they are coming down our steps, 4 or 5 cases of groceries, you know? And I mean, amazing. It's just, the steps are even bending, you know? And of course, here I am over in the corner standing, you know, over here, you know? And I'm thinking, oh, come off it, you know? I'm sitting here, I'm 50 years older than they are, you know? I'm like, well, I still got it in me, you know? But in the back of my head, I hear my loving wife say, "Don't do nothing stupid." And you know how much humbling it was for me not to grab a few cases and carry them? Hey, this old man still got it, you know what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be the stupidest thing in the world for me to do that? God had already gave us all the strength that we needed. Young men and women. Marty, Chuck, I think your granddaughter, you said, was here helping and stuff. I mean, and just to me to say, well, I can still do it, I'd be stupid. But listening to my missus and understanding that if I did do that, if I would have grabbed a few cases, they'd been ripped completely. You know how much weight she'd have to carry with the ministry? I mean, my stupidity, my machoism, would be all on her and you guys out there, you know. You got to be coming in doing... Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't see that, Nancy. And my Bible one would slip out of my hand and hit you in the head. I'm sorry. But listening to her voice, I let it lead me away from the temptation of being a macho man. And it's the same way here. If we have a will to please God, this word that we follow will lead us away from the temptations, you know. The more that we hear this, the less temptation we'll fall into, because we don't want to fall in temptations, do we? Amen. Amen. And same way with me yesterday, I didn't want to fall into the temptation of being a macho man. So listening to my missus and knowing that she was right, it led me away from maybe a lot worse damage and stuff. And same thing happens to our lives today, guys. You have the will to follow the Lord and to please Him? Awesome. He'll give you strength. Let Him lead you this way, to the Word. Because you won't find one lie in this book at all. You know that? Yeah. It's all truth, all given to us for our benefit and for the glory of our Lord. Amen. We're going to break bread here in just a couple of minutes, but I want to share a couple of things. I want to turn the lights up there, hon. Thank you. Just a couple of things the Lord laid on my heart. I just... You know, as a man of God and as a pastor, my heart is always out for other folks to make sure that they know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen? Because we've all talked before about people that we knew have been in church for years and years, and all of a sudden they confess Jesus. They were in church hearing the Word of God, but they never get that personal relationship. And that's one of the blessings I have through the week here. I talk to a lot of different people from different walks of life, and they all have different ideas on Jesus and what a relationship is. And so I try to explain to people what religion is and what relationship is, and it opens up a lot of eyes. But what I was thinking about this morning was extended car warranties. Anybody ever get an extended car warranty? If you want one, I got a number I can give you a call, okay? But I remember, you know, we've been looking at different cars and stuff, not sure what to go with. I want a newer car because I want the warranty. But I can buy an older car and purchase the warranty, okay? And sometimes you go to get a warranty for your car, and the guy said, "Man, this is the best thing you can do. It's bumper to bumper. You're good for 100,000 miles. You don't worry about nothing. Just sign right here and $120 a month. And man, it's awesome. You know, the guy's all dressed up. You know he knows what he's talking about because he's clean shaven and he wears aftershave. You know what I'm saying? So you got to know what he's talking about. And so you listen to him. He's just so personal. You know what I'm saying? He can sell you anything. I mean, anything. I mean, that's what I need. I need that. And so you sign on the dotted line, man. You drive away. You got this new warranty on this old car, but you're guaranteed it's going to 500,000 miles. And you drive down the road a week or two later. Here's a thump, 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 thump. And the car breaks down. We get it towed. You're not worrying about it, you know? You had the record towed, you went out to dinner because it ain't going to cost you a dime because you know the warranty the guy sold you. Bumper to bumper, 100,000 miles. Well, when they take you to the car lot, they call your extended warranty people, and they're not speaking like they told you. Oh, I'm sorry, yes, it's bumper to bumper, but it covers nothing in between. You're running 87 octane gas. Read the fine print. It has to be 91 octane gas. And you start reading the fine print, and you realize you bought nothing that you thought you had. Amen? Wow. What should you have done? The guy says, bumper the bumper. And folks, I'm not very much of a mechanic, but bumper bumper means everything in between when you say that. Bumper bumper covers interior, exterior, everything. You know, that's what it's supposed to be, okay? Oh, that's fantastic. Show me here in the contract. A lot of times they start stuttering then, okay? But even though people tell you what you get, you're still responsible to check it out and make sure, okay? Just because somebody's fancy looking and a sweet talker doesn't mean they're telling you the truth. And so the days that we're living in, the Master also warned us about these days. And that's always my heart concern, again, when I talk to a lot of folks, and everybody's got different preachers that I like to listen to. Amen? They do. And there's a couple up there that really gets me on fire when I listen to him preaching. And there's a couple out there, people say, well, no, I listen to this person. Boy, my heart breaks because that person, I mean, they're very, very personable, you know. You want them around you because always uplifting, encouraging, makes you feel better. But they don't preach the truth of Jesus, you know. If repentance isn't in there, then it's not the gospel, okay? And the Master, he warned us in these. And yeah, Matthew, we're going to pop into Matthew for a minute. Again, closer we get to him coming. And I just, he laid on my heart, just I want everybody to make sure. Make sure that you are listening to the voice of Jesus. And whatever someone's telling you, me, when I tell you something, I say, well, God says this in the Bible, look it up, amen? I mean, that's why we give you the chapter and the verse and stuff. Because I've given you chapter and verse before. And I said the right terminology, but I gave you the wrong chapter and verse. I wasn't trying to deceive you, but I gave you, you know, I got it mixed up. But anyway, in Matthew 7, verse 15, and it really falls in line with us today, it says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the dead tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So he's saying, watch out, because there'll be people out there preaching the word of God You'll be claiming the Word of God that is not the Word of God in order to make you feel good. Okay? Now, we all like to feel good. We all like to be uplifted. But I'm telling you what, this Word of God's given to us for both feel good and a step on our toes to get us right with Him. And He says there's going to be false prophecies out there. People out there giving false teachings to you. And we won't be able to stand before God on Judgment Day when He says, well, depart from me. I never knew you. Wait. I listened to you every Sunday. He didn't preach the right word, but you know, there's nothing that we can say to change that. It's that we, you and I, each of us, owe it to ourselves to search out the Word of God and to follow it, and someone not preaching the Word of God to get away from them. Amen? But many are falling into a trap. Many are trying to find different ways to heaven. Many folks are determined or convinced, put it this way, that God is different today than He was a century ago or two centuries ago. People are being convinced that, well, sin isn't sin anymore. You know? That we can stay in our wickedness and still go to heaven. And that's a lie, amen? And, to be born again is to have the new Spirit of God into us. And then, man, we have that will to follow Him. He will give us the strength to overcome the temptations of this world. But too many folks are falling into the category, well, I'm okay, and when we're not. Sin is sin, and God hasn't changed that. It's given to us as a warning. And folks, my heart is that, you know, I look at the parable of the 10 virgins from time to time. If you guys are familiar with that, you know, 5 were ready for the coming and 5 wasn't ready for the groom. And that represents the church. What he's saying, you know, half the people in church ain't going to make it. Why? Because they don't have that 5. They don't have that the Holy Spirit. They don't have that. They're not having that rebirth. Now, it doesn't mean in this church here we say, okay, you're gone, you're not, you're gone. Half of you guys ain't going to make it to heaven. No, it's talking about the body itself, okay? The body of Christ, the church itself. That there's a lot of folks who gather, claim Christianity, but they're not following Jesus. And the key word here, he says, Lord. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord. And folks, in order for Jesus to be our Lord, we need to be following Him, right? He needs to be Lord in our thoughts and our actions. What you did last night, I have no idea, don't look at me, oh, how do you know? What you did last night, was the Lord involved with it? Okay, did He motivate you? Did you represent Him? Did you seek His counsel when you did? And I'm not saying you was in prayer for 3 hours deciding where you want to eat at. I'm just saying the actions that you did align with the Word of God. Because He is. When we talk about John going home, and He is coming back for our church. He is coming back for His church. He is coming back for those who love Him, okay? Who can declare that He is Lord of my life. Amen? And it's so easy to fluctuate. It can be very easy if we're not working our salvation daily, is fall into a groove that we fall into a sin, and we stay in that sin, and we don't want to get out of that sin. And folks, He wants to be Lord of our life, every aspect of our life, you know. It's like downstairs yesterday, but I had to humble myself. No, I can't carry that stuff anymore. Yes, I'm old. I got it, I'm up. I'm getting old, okay? Amen. Well, thank you. I got one amen. Okay. But once I recognize it, I can be at peace. That's the hardest thing is acknowledging that you can't do the things that you used to do. Amen. And you know the reason why. I don't want to do them anymore because my body would break down. Okay. Well, it's the same way when I acknowledge my life. I look at things in my life. Oh, man, I don't want to do it. That has got a bad wage to it. You know what I'm saying? Separation from God. He won't hear my prayers. Detrimental to my family. I don't want to get involved in any sin that's going to separate me from God. He won't hear my prayers tonight. That's my desire. So humble myself, seek my heart. God, is my heart really yours? Or are my thoughts really yours? Do I really love you? Yes, God, I really love you, but now I want to please you. Your will be done in my life, not mine. And the way that is done by, again, listening to His Word and following Him. And the more we hear His Word, the more we follow Him. You know, we don't work our way into heaven. It's a free gift. Amen? We receive that. But the key word is now, Jesus, I want you to repent. Otherwise, you're going to turn away. You're going to think completely different now. I'm giving you salvation. I'm paying the penalty for your sins. Now just follow me. Follow me and turn you back to the world. Turn you back to the temptations of this life. Turn you back to the thing that wants to destroy you. Turn you back. Walk away from it. Walk away from it. Amen? That's the key thing, guys. To walk away from the temptations and walk away from the sins of this world. And it could be a struggle, maybe. You know? People trying to hold you back, you know. You don't want to separate yourself from this gathering because, boy, you like being hanging around them. But they're getting to your thought life. It's trying to pull you down. And I'm telling you, man, time is so short. Time is so short. That trumpet, I think he's cleaned that trumpet up. You know what I'm saying? Getting ready to blow that horn. He's going to send his angels down here to gather up his elite. But folks, each one of us, our desire and our will submitted to God is to turn our backs on the evilness of this world for our own life. Sure, you're in the world, but don't be of the world. But it's up to us. Each one of us. You know, we see the scriptures right there. He says, some people say, Lord, Lord. He said, man, get away from me. I don't know you. You might know me, but we never had that connection. And when we have that connection, when you're born again, folks, inside of you is that Spirit of God that will give you the strength and the direction if you just follow and listen to His voice. Turn. Turn away. And walk with Him completely. And someday, I'm telling you what, man, you're going to see Him face to face. You know, this place, we said before, isn't our home, okay? But we are passing through. And God wants to be involved in our life here. I understand our life here isn't just to get to heaven. When you're born again, you're already a citizen of heaven, okay? You can't wear this human suit into the kingdom of God. You gotta put it on God's glory to get through the gates, okay? So we gotta lay our bodies down one of these days. But right now, He has so much more for us to do for us in order to work through us. Because His coming is very, 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 very near. So He wants us to be here to encourage one another and to keep our ears open and walk away from false teachings. Make sure that what you're listening to is biblically based. Otherwise, Satan will get a hold of that kind of, he'll get a wedge in between you. And you start thinking opposite of what the Word of God has for us. And it says right above there in verse 13 of the same chapter of Matthew 7. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. He says, it doesn't say it. Nobody does, but very few are that find it. And I see the gates of heaven, I see it more of you ever go through a turnstile at the airport, you know, you got, it's just only this wide. And sometimes you go through sideways trying to get through. You can't walk through there carrying your luggage. You know what I'm saying? You cannot get through with your cell phone on your hip. You got to suck it in and just to get through there. Very narrow gate. If you want to get on the airplane, you have to suck it up and get through there. You don't ever try to jump over one of the things to try to get to your plane. They kind of like to tackle you a little bit, you know? I don't recommend it. And that's where the gate to heaven is that we can't take the things of the world with us. Our lustful thoughts or our sins, it ain't going to happen. The gate is narrow. The gate to destruction, he says, is very wide. You know, we can carry our pride, we can carry our thought life, our simple ways of thinking, our gossiping, all that stuff. If you imagine those being suitcases, we can carry all them right down to hell with us because that gate is wide and we'll think we're okay. Well, I'm just doing the same thing that Carol's doing. She's doing it and she's going to heaven. Well, what does the Word of God say? Does it say gossipers will enter the kingdom of God? Does it say liars? Thieves? Fornicators? Homosexuals? Adulterers? Yeah. We can't take that stuff with us. The awesome thing of it is, inside of us as a Christian, there's a checker inside of us. Hey, wait, you can't bring that on this plane. Oh, lay it down. Oop, lay it down. Lay it down. You ever get on a plane, you got to decide whether or not you're going to take the plane or keep your penknife that your granddad gave you? You got to decide, okay? You know if you throw it in that thing bottle, you're never going to get it back. So, do you want to go to your destination more? Or you want to keep that? That's the decision you got to make, and you have to make that decision. Well, same with us. Maybe we want to follow the Lord. We have to throw down the things that's not pleasing Him. Things that are detrimental to us. They're not pleasing to Him because it's not pleasing to us because it brings destruction to our life. You know? That's where the gate is there. So, well, He wants us to recognize that out of love, Christ came to die on that cross, took our place, paid our penalty for our sins. And for those who want to receive that, He becomes our Lord. Why does He become our Lord? Because you follow, you listen to Him, and you follow Him. That's the key part. It's very simple, but very important. Is that when this word speaks, and what it says, follow it. Turn your back on the things of this world that's not good. And be prepared for more and more people to hate you. Okay, more people hate me than they already do. They will. But they need you more than anything. But you need Christ more than anything. The days that's approaching, I'm telling you what, awesome days are coming for revival. Awesome days are coming for people to come to know Jesus. But boy, I believe it's going to come with a lot of pressure, a lot of persecution. But we can handle it because Christ is in us. Greater He that's in me than He that's in the world. With Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can do this. But the key word is for Him to be our Lord. And then by being our Lord, He'll be our Savior also. Matthew 25. One more here and we'll break bread together. Matthew 25. And we'll start with verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all of the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another. As a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. And I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer Him and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the King will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Then He will say to those on His left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they themselves will answer and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then He will answer them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And the difference between the two groups there, folks, is very simple. One group, the first group, the sheep as they called them, Jesus Christ was their Lord. He followed them. He knew them. They had a relationship with him. He knew that everything that they did, his spirit worked through them. The other group, they called him Lord, but he was not Lord. When did we see this? When did we see that? We never saw you. Why? Because you do not have the spiritual eyes that you have as a Christian. And when you get born again, you have more of a softness in your heart. Because you reach out to those. In Christ's name, when you do that, you're reaching out to me. But the whole thing is for Him to be the Lord of our life. How many folks would cry out to Him, Lord, Lord? And He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And many of them probably sat in church. Many of them maybe never missed a day in church. Because their thought process was, hey, good sermon, preacher. Them guys in the back row really needed it. Yeah. Oh, good word today, preacher. Boy, I knew somebody in church needed to hear that. Hey, good word today, preacher. Then nothing ever came to them. It was always somebody else needed it. They did not receive the word. They did not receive the Lord. He wasn't Lord of their life. Hey, the Lord said, we shouldn't do that. Oh, I know. That's for my other groups. That's on the third row people. They don't need to do that. You know? Me and God, we got an understanding. You know what I'm saying? He pulled me out of the yard. I'm not like I used to be. You know? So we got this understanding. But boy, I tell you what. The mother group, they really need him. No, I mean, this word here is for each one of us. Lord, how does this word apply to me? Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. Again, and this is probably the last of the series we're talking about Lordship, but is there anything in my life I haven't surrendered to you, Lord? If there's something I'm hanging on to, show it to me. I want to follow you. I want to be you. I want you to be in me. We can go through difficult times. We can go through a lot of struggles. And it can be very simple to step away from the Lord a little bit. Just step away from His Word. Say, well, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but we got to get rid of the buts. You know, really, because buts are very detrimental to us. We say, Lord, I know what I need to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it. You know? I can't stay in this job I'm doing anymore, Lord, because it's just so, it's evil. It's evil. I was no longer participating. I'm going to step away from it. I'm going to trust in you, God. You're going to lead me somewhere. I'm not going to wait till I get another job. This stuff is crooked. I'm not going to deal with it no more. I know you don't want me here, God. I'm going to step out. And you go from there. Again, I'm not telling anybody here to quit your job today. You seek the Lord on that, amen, on anything in your life. But it's not of God. Step away. And trust in and lead me, Lord. I want to please you all my life. Everything I have. And if you have you someplace today that's tough, and you got to stay there, God, give me strength. Give me strength. Give me wisdom. Lead me, Lord. Let me be that light shining. If you want to move you somewhere else more softer, I'll go. But checking with them. You know, I can't tell you how to live your life. Because I have to live my own. Amen? By no one here that can. Amen. Thank you, sister. I appreciate that. That's awesome. And He wants to. He's not here to beat us up. He's not here to condemn us. He is here to rescue us. If we have that will to follow Him, He will strengthen us through His Word and one another. And then someday we'll hear that, welcome home, my faithful servant. And man, what a day that's going to be. Don't give up. Be encouraged. Everything to Him. We're going to break bread. And breaking bread today, it's like, yes, we are. You're in communion with God. What's the word I want to say? The word just left me like that. But it's kind of like you're in contract with Him. A commitment is a good one. Yes, it's... covenant. Thank you. Yes. We finally got there. Thanks, guys. It's your covenant. God, yeah, I'm following you, and I just surrender it all to you. You died for me. My sins are paid for. I'm living for you, Lord. And I mean, yeah, that's what it is. I know. I ought to take more notes, you know. That's what it is. But then I can't find them in here. But in covenant with them, you know. And he'll never break his part of the covenant. Okay? He is there to strengthen you. He is there to lift you up. This word is there to encourage you. Oh, wow. Yes, I guess I did blow it. Thank you, God. Forgive me. He's there to forgive you. Come on. Let's keep going. We have the will to please him because it's not just our own life that he influences. Your life is influencing other people's lives as you follow him. And you influence the people when you fall in temptation. Because why? When they see you rise back up again, yeah, I blew it. Wow. You mean, Bonnie, that Christians aren't perfect people? We have a desire to be perfect, but are we? No. But see, when people see that, when you live a life for Jesus, people will see Christ in you. They're going to see the old cardinal part of you. They're going to see you fail. They're going to see you get back up again. Confessing the Lord. Encouragement. Man, Bonnie, I'm just picking on you if you're looking at me. You know, Bonnie's been in church for years, loves Jesus. She fell and got back up again. Look at her. Man, and she told me, hey, listen, he'll forgive you. What encouragement, you know? It kind of reminds me of when I worked at the department. One time we had juvenile officers. We had two of them. None of them had any kids. How could we go in your house and tell you how to take care of your kids? We never had any. Amen? Now you get somebody who's got three or four kids, go, yeah, I've been there myself. That's why my hair's gray. I don't have any. You know, kids will drive you crazy. And they can give you just what I did. Is how I got through it, you know. Same with our lives today, man. We've sinned. God rescued us. He brought us back up, put us back up on our feet. We're loving him, following him. That encourages other people. That they recognize that Christians are not perfect. Well, we're righteous in the eyes of the Lord because of Christ. But we're people who are following the Lord and allowing him to change our life. Amen? Amen. Now, don't leave here today and say, I'm going to go out and encourage somebody. I'm going to go sin. No, we're not going to do that. It's when we fall into sin. Amen. So.